number 3663.
Coming up, the problem with sex offenders in the neighborhood and nobody checking up, or parole officers who let things slip by. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America. Tonight we're going to compare two different cases, one in California with Philip Garrido and what happened with J.C. Dugard, who, of course, was kidnapped when she was 11 years old, and then more recently, Anthony Sewell, who now is in custody, of course, but they found 10 bodies in and around his home, including a skull in the basement. Ooh, really makes you scratch your head and wonder why. How did this happen? They were both paroled sex offenders. Speaking of, I wonder why this happened, that's, I think, what the White House was really doing behind the scenes, particularly in those two governor races, both in Virginia and a very liberal Democratic New Jersey, where John Corzine was not reelected as governor of that state, despite the fact that Barack Obama campaigned heavily for him over the weekend. So Michael Steele, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, of course, had a chance to kind of boast a little bit since the GOP has been taking it on the chin lately, to say the least. Here's what he said on Morning Joe on MSNBC.
I think what happened last night was something that, you know, Joe and I have talked about before, and others, is America, through the voices of those folks in Virginia and New Jersey, had something to say. You know, they were looking for leadership that's going to lay out a vision for these tough times and how you get through them. And it was particularly tough for Corzine because he couldn't take the last 4 years of his term and translate it into a point of success for people, as they were dealing with tax rates and foreclosures and unemployment. And so I think when you have someone who comes in and goes, look, that's the old way of doing this. I want to try something different here. You know, just feel me out here. Just go with the flow. Trust me. And then lay it out. I think people responded very favorably, particularly in places like New Jersey. That's a huge thing to have happen.
All right, so he was gloating a bit there with both of them. And then the gloves came off. There's a guy named Lawrence O'Donnell. He does a lot of political stuff. He fills in for Keith Olbermann a ton on MSNBC. And if you're watching commercials, you might see him pop up on a bunch of commercials. He does like the Geico commercial. Go figure. But anyway, here's how he got into it with Michael Steele.
Michael, you got wiped out in the congressional races, both of them last night. You had a winnable one in California, and you had one that you thought you had locked up, New York's 23rd, but you and Sarah Palin and the National Republicans went up there and ruined it for the Republicans. Don't you personally have a lot to apologize for in the way you led your party to disaster in the 23rd, losing it for the first time in history. How did you do that?
Let him answer.
Lawrence? I'll start by apologizing for allowing you to ask me a question in the first place. All right?
Read the First Amendment sometime.
Number one, I don't apologize for anything. Last night was a great night for the Republican Party. We win races, we lose races. In the past two or three cycles, we've been losing more than we've been winning. So, you know, a lot of folks like yourself are going to sit there and pick apart at the bones of 23. God bless you. Have fun. I hope you find some gristle to chew on. The reality of it is, regardless of who won in that district, they would have to turn right around and start running again. So we'll be back in that game next year. We'll take the seat back. I'm not worried about that.
All right. So, again, 23 is that district, that congressional district in New York that went to the Democrats, not the GOP, and that's what Steele is referring to. It's a little fun. It was one of those election moments, I think, for Republicans, certainly, where it had been very tough, obviously, in 2006 and 2008. I mean, last year, Obama was the first Democratic presidential candidate to even win the state of Virginia since 1964, and here you have in Virginia McDonnell, a former conservative state attorney general who easily defeated decree Deeds to become the state's first Republican governor in 8 years. So that is a big deal. The White House downplaying it, saying that, look, this is all about local issues, and so we're not so concerned about the election results. In fact, we're not paying attention, which I think is bogus. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had the president out there stumping. Now, I wish that I could be out there each and every day stumping for victims' rights. I mean, we try to do whatever we can here in America Tonight, but it's shocking to me what happened in Cleveland, Ohio. The body count continues to go up. I mean, who knows if they find any more, but 10 bodies in and around the house and a skull in the basement. I already mentioned that. The alleged offender, Anthony Sewell, was arrested and charged with multiple counts of murder. And so the big question is, where were the cops and the parole officers who were supposed to be keeping tabs on him, aware of what was happening? And what the deal was is he was a sex offender. And if it turns out that he's responsible for these deaths, which certainly it looks like, of the people who have been at his house, come on, give me a break. It's a matter of, okay, try him and let's possibly fry him. And so what did he do? He somehow exploited the system, and he's on the sex offender registry, and nobody had a hint of what was going on. And there were cops and parole folks who went to his house, but they didn't notice anything unusual. Sadly, it's very similar to what we heard in California with the parole officers missing opportunities to discover the long-missing J.C. Dugard while supervising the man who's now accused, of course, of kidnapping her for all those years, raping her continuously. And now the state is reviewing, how did this happen? He was a registered, Philip Garrido was a registered sex offender on parole between January of 88 and August, when Dugard, who was missing for 18 years, was discovered living in the shed. It's, again, how do these people fall through the cracks? What do you think should be done? I think things need to change. One, if there are so many people on the sex offenders list, then they need to clearly be checked better as to what were the offenses. Because if you don't have enough people to really thoroughly check and investigate, then there has to be some reassignments. And certainly, in rehabilitating these guys, they weren't rehabilitated, because then look what happened. One guy kidnaps a little girl, continually rapes her, and only accidentally is she found when she's a grown woman and had two of his children. And another guy, Nutball, turns into a serial killer, and you find 10 bodies and a head, a skull in his basement. I think it's very worrisome how many other people like that are lurking about in all of the states that I'm broadcasting in right now at this moment. What are the reviews? What do they show? What are the parole people? What are they being paid? Is there incentive? Maybe this is part of the problem. Lackadaisical ways of doing things, because people are overworked. There's not enough people to properly ensure what's happening out there, and there's too many people who are perhaps listed incorrectly on some of these roles, and there needs to be something done, and done right now, before more children are raped or killed. Oof. You can throw in your two cents, 800-259-5791. Kate Delaney hanging out with you here on America Tonight.
Home building industry is changing, and going green doesn't have to cost more. Learn about natural heating and cooling strategies, healthy, eco-friendly materials, and super energy efficiency. Tune into Living Shelter Design on webtalkradio.net to get ideas from top innovators in green power, integrated design, water systems, and healthy homes. Whether for personal comfort or professional awareness, make Living Shelter Design on webtalkradio.net your new home information source.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. November 4th, 2009. Gold opened this morning at 1093.20. A 1 ounce gold coin to be purchased for 1123.22, 561.61 for a half ounce, or 280.81 for the quarter ounce. That's 1123.22, 561.61, or 280.81.
On June 4th, 1963, Executive Order 11,110 was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With a stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you're tired of paying too much for gas, diesel, or heating oil, Future Fuel Technologies has the answer you're looking for. It's called FFT Fuel Saver. FFT Fuel Saver is made using a patented formula that helps fuel burn cleaner, resulting in a 10 to 20% increase in fuel efficiency and reduces emissions 30% or more. Each bottle of FFT Fuel Saver will save you money, increase your MPG, improve engine performance, and will treat up to 160 gallons of fuel. When used in your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat, you will feel the results in 20 miles or less. FFT Fuel Saver is registered with the EPA, the Better Business Bureau, is made in the USA, and comes with a money-back guarantee. To start saving money now, visit FutureFuelTechnologies.com. That's FutureFuelTechnologies.com, or call 1-888-961-6600. That's 1-888-961-6600. FFT, simply the best fuel saver on earth.
Does everybody know what they say about assumptions? You know the saying, it makes a jackass out of me and out of you, basically. Ooh, what are they thinking on the Hill? Wait till you hear what I tell you about what they think they'll get in fines from people raking in money rather than getting the coverage. How much money is earmarked that they'll probably get back and they can use? They being the politicians in this bill and to get it passed in the House and the Senate, because there's two different versions, of course. It's like War and Peace times 10. Welcome to America Tonight. If you've never heard the show before, my name's Kate Delaney. Hey, check us out on AmericaTonight.net. You can see maybe what you missed on some previous shows. We're talking about this subject that couldn't hit me more in the gut than anything that I ever talk about, and it's these sex offenders being paroled, and then somehow they completely slip through the system, and you end up in situations where somebody's kidnapped and raped, somebody's kidnapped, raped, murdered, times 10, and who knows what else is happening out there. It seems like at least once a month we're hearing some kind of horror story. Dorothy's listening to us in Illinois. Dorothy, thanks for the call. How are you?
I'm fine. I listen to you about every night, Kate. I love your show.
Thanks, Dorothy.
And you are so right on about our system is broke. I just heard tonight on the show before you a commentator praising someone for finding out a mayor in California that's been caught not paying his taxes. Oh, my. Who cares? Why don't we start looking for someone that's done something to these children? We take care of the convicts and stop worrying about the Democrats or the Republicans so one can fight the other and find something on the other and so their party's better. We've got to quit that, Kate. America's got to change.
Yeah, America has to change, I think, in what, Dorothy, and that's why we have to pay attention. This is the key thing. You want the people to represent you in Illinois and Texas and Connecticut, all around the country, who are fighting, instead of fighting amongst each other, which is part of the point that you're making, fighting for the rights of the people, the victims, the people who can't stand up for themselves, the people who need the representation, and to fight over what's happening with our borders, and that we don't know when people's visas expire, what's going on with sex offenders, and then these horrific crimes that are happening. Remember Elizabeth Smart in Salt Lake City? Same thing. I mean, we keep talking about sex offenders every single time that number comes up, and that's horrific. There should be better laws or better ways to break this down, whether it's healthcare reform, whatever it is. Absolutely. So I think what's happened is it's more about the fight than about the actual difference that can be made in American lives on the issues, not about the person across the aisle. You're right.
I just hear it every night. I like your show so much because you don't really designate. I'm sure you're one or the other. I don't know. Maybe you're not. But so many talk shows today, especially after President Obama was elected, they take sides. And that's all they do is run him down and the Congress and the rep. I get so tired of hearing it. You know, they spend their whole time in running him down. Why don't they get behind him and let's do something, something that's right?
Yeah, you know, Dorothy, thanks for the call. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad that you picked up the phone and called us. Your last words are true. Why don't we do something that's right in this country, period? I mean, that's the key. Thank you for the call. Unfortunately, however, when we're talking about the administration, part of the problem is that, and I can hear that with Dorothy and her frustration. What's happened is when you have the new guys in town, it's been a year, and if I looked at Obama, what I would say is the inaction, that there's too much worrying about the politics around him, and so the supposed change didn't happen, whatever that change was supposed to be. And so to me, I think there needs to be more hard cut decisions and not worrying about what the political fallout is, whether it's, and you know, if you've listened to the show, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's healthcare reform, whatever it is that we're talking about, there is too much of that. I'm on this side. You're on that side. Supposedly there was going to be more bipartisan cooperation, but of course that's certainly not what we're seeing at all. If you want to chime in on the sex offender thing, you can do that. It's broken, 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 broken. 800-259-5791. I'm all about victims' rights. I think so often that's what gets lost in the sauce. That what about the victims? What about the people whose lives were altered because of Philip Garrido? Because of, which I'm sure we'll discover, Anthony Sewell. How do you, there's no makeup here. I mean, you get one life. Boom. This is the one crack at it, right? So if a predator picks off your loved one, imagine what is bubbling up inside of you, right? And I hate to say this, but it's that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth thing with me. And I can only imagine you have a child and something horrific happens, like in either one of these cases, and there was a chance to stop them. So they were already on record as having done X, Y, Z, whatever it was. Garrido was on record for rape. And that's the problem. How serious is it what they did? What did they do? And then why are they being paroled? The woman who was raped by Garrido said she was shocked when he got out, was worried, all that other stuff. And did minimal time. That's the other part of the problem here. This is a problem when it comes to healthcare reform, and I promised that I would get to this. And here's what's scary to me: it's like gambling. Okay, so the nonpartisan, not Democrat, not Republican, Congressional Budget Office estimates in its study last week that the House healthcare bill would bring in $167 billion over 10 years in penalties from the people who don't get coverage. So they have to figure out what it would be, and in their calculating, they realize, oh, well, there's I mean, definitely this percentage of the population is not going to get coverage, and we already know that. So if this is what they're charging, pretty much this is what you can expect to happen. So wouldn't that initially say to you, okay, you're banking on billion in fines? So that's saying that what? It's not affordable enough for people then. How are people, you're going to have these plans that you already know out of the gate are not going to be, the insurance is going to be affordable. So you're assuming that expanding coverage from the current 83% to 96% of legal U.S. residents, the windfall of the projected penalty payments, exposes a huge contradiction in reform. I didn't even realize this in looking at all of this. We've talked about it. We talked about that there would be a lot of people that would be slammed with fines. But a giant part of the plan to expand coverage relies financially, see, this is that thing, on fines from uninsured people. How does that make you feel? Well, we're banking on the fact that we're going to get the money we need. You know, we're telling you, don't worry about the money. We're going to get $167 billion from people who are not going to be able to afford the insurance coverage. $33 billion from fines paid by single people, individuals, who didn't buy the insurance, and the rest from employers who don't offer insurance to workers or contribute toward premiums. So there we go again with the small businesses. They will get slammed. They will have to pay fines if this bill were to go through. And it's so funny, they're talking about climate control and climate change and cap and trade. How many trees do you think they've cut down on the Hill with printing out all of the paper for these budgets? 1,900-page health bill in the House, health care bill. And they print them all out. They sit there with them in front of them, and they're not looking at the computers. They're not doing that. If you notice, they have a giant bundle. It's so that everybody has a version of the health care bill. So much for going green, right? It just wouldn't be convenient. So if you take that number a little bit further, what we're pretty much saying is there could be between 8 million and 14 million people who would end up paying fines. I mean, that is a huge number. And it shows that obviously the insurance packages that are being offered are flawed. Because why would you have $167 billion in penalties rather than buy insurance under your plan? And the problem is, it's expensive. So this government-run insurance program that's supposed to help extend the coverage will do anything but that. Ugh, it's nauseating. Now, 800-259-5791, America Tonight.
For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your Garden in a Can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit GardenInACan.com. That's GardenInACan.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've heard the Get the Tea commercials, and many people like our commercials, but I did notice something. What the heck is a toxin? So, here it is. A toxin is a poisonous substance that is capable of causing disease when introduced into the body. Formaldehyde, from seat cushions and particle board. How about carbon monoxide, furnace-burning propane, butane, disinfectants, perfume, mouthwash, glues, air fresheners, pesticides. Oh my gosh, even sugar is a toxin, according to Dr. Lau. It's a very addictive drug. It's time to fight back. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can get your trusty cell phone out and call us at 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And put in your order today. Lose weight, feel good, and be free of all these toxins. GetTheTea.com.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
Check the mail in just a second, but hey, if you want a new drug, I hope you can afford it, because healthcare reform is assuming millions would pay the fine rather than get the coverage, and upon closer examination, maybe they would, because it's just not affordable, which is so sad. You're talking about, would you rather people pay $167 billion, as I said, in penalties rather than get the insurance under the plan? Of course, the idea was to have people be covered, right? Wasn't that the whole purpose? We need health care reform. We can't have people that don't have health care because they're going bankrupt, and then it's sad, and there's awful stories. So you have Ernest Istook, who's a former Republican congressman from Oklahoma, who's now a fellow. We're going to get him on the show, a fellow at the Conservative Heritage Foundation, who has also, you know, calculated the figures, too, and he's saying, listen, it's not affordable, and that's what the problem is. The government's offering a bunch of subsidies to make coverage more affordable under the plan, but it wouldn't be enough to lure everybody into the system. So, and there would be people that would not want to get it anyway, who are just averse to the idea, like, eh, forget it, I feel like I'm healthy, don't worry about it. But I think that's a very big, big number. Oof. And this is interesting, too. Remember Joe Wilson, you lie? Remember he screamed out, you lie? It was part of the deal when Obama was addressing both chambers. Joe Wilson, I think, has said a very interesting thing, one that a lot of you have called the show and have said. And, in fact, many of the folks in Congress have been asked this when they've been interviewed. Well, if the system is going to be so good, why don't you just go on it? So Republican Congressman Wilson is proposing an amendment. you got to love this, that would force all members of Congress to receive health insurance coverage, ready, through the government-run plan proposed in the House's reform bill. Uh-huh. So, because if it's so bloody good, then, of course, the people who are there on the Hill would gladly put themselves on it, right? And the answer is, I don't think so. The current health care legislation pretty much states that members of Congress may enroll in the public plan. And he wants to change that to must enroll. So there is actually something on the books in the plan that says that they may enroll. But now, if the public option is good enough for the American people, for you and I, whatever, then it must be good for the people in Congress, right? So let's just see what happens with this. I have a feeling it will be pretty much voted down. But I love the idea that he brought it up again, saying, okay, if you think it's so good, well, then let's have at it, boys. Then all of us will get on it, right? And if it's out there for everybody to see and for people to talk about, then that's when it becomes more embarrassing to the people, you know, who are doing the voting, because then they start to get asked that, which, as I said, many have been asked, but now you would be on the record. All right, speaking of going on the record, many of you have done that by throwing your thoughts out to us on AmericaTonight.net.
The mail is here! Ooh!
And it's here, baby. We got a bunch of different emails on a couple of different things, including the whole White House Christmas ornaments deal. If the White House was saying that they wouldn't take, or is it exaggerated, are they saying that they will only call it a holiday tree and they won't take Christmas ornaments? It goes to that whole thing again of, geez, we can't pledge allegiance and say the word God in anything. We might offend somebody. So Jonathan wrote me a note about the holiday tree in Kentucky. And there have been a lot of people that have now been reporting on this, some saying it's erroneous and exaggerated, and others saying that no, it's true. Stu in Kentucky called us and talked about the email in relationship to his daughter and somebody that her friend, somebody she was dating, and the family sending ornaments. So Jonathan says, I listened to your show last night about the holiday tree and complaints about why it can't be called a Christmas tree and so on. I've recently discovered our governor in Kentucky, Steve Beshear, stated that he will call the evergreen tree a Christmas tree this year, as he always has, instead of a holiday tree. And he is inviting all the critics to a lighting ceremony, November 30th. And I think some of the news stations have picked up on this, too, as well, Jonathan. And he said, I just thought I would share this with you and your listeners. And it is true, and that is absolutely what the governor has done in the past and what he's saying. And that's what I said earlier. If you have a tree that's a Christmas tree, there are ornaments that can be from other places that can have other meanings. I just don't get why we can't have the identity of everything, whether it's Kwanzaa, whether it's Hanukkah, whether it's whatever Christmas, whatever somebody celebrates. Why, if we are, in fact, a multi-layered society of so many immigrants that legally came in through wherever, Ellis Island, etc., then, and with different religions, supposedly we were free from religious persecution here, right? So I don't understand why we've flipped back so far on the other side. I mean, hey, listen, I've got friends across the board, Protestant, Jewish, Catholic, other forms of Christianity, etc., non-denominational. I just don't understand why there isn't room for everybody to sort of get along in this club, and why we have to slam the other person. And you can't, something that the Christmas tree that's been around forever has to be renamed holiday trees, and you can't have ornaments that are just called Christmas ornaments. I mean, we need to stop spending so much time on this nonsense and focus on the things that are more important, you know, so please. So it's like this war on Christmas. And some of the stories do get twisted and do get exaggerated, by the way. But there are plenty examples of things that don't. In my own area, I know that they have taken many Christmas pageants and turned them into just a holiday celebration, and they don't allow anything that denotes, you know, Christmas whatsoever. So for how many decades have we had Christmas trees and Christmas celebrations? Okay, a couple of other people sounded off on this, too. Here's one from Tom. Tom says, Kate, I heard Stu's call to you yesterday. I'm so not surprised by this. Why do we have to call it a holiday tree? Can it be a Christmas tree? Isn't that what it is? Isn't it a Christmas tree? It's not a Hanukkah bush. It's not something else. It is a Christmas tree. And, you know, he's right. It's a Christmas tree. Can we just call it a Christmas tree? Also, here's one from Thomas T. Thomas T. says, once again, killing the joy out of the holidays. Heard your caller from Kentucky. I think it's shocking because who cares? So you send an ornament, whether it is a reindeer or whether it is something of a manger scene on a bulb. What difference does it make, Kate? I just don't get where we are headed. Whether it's religion we're talking about, whatever it is, the PC police are in full force, and it's the people with the power. Here's one from Eddie. Eddie also wanted to talk about Christmas. Here we go again. It's the season to suck the joy out of everything. Why can't we call something what it is? I certainly know what Hanukkah is, and I know what Kwanzaa is, and I know what Christmas is. Why can we not equally just enjoy in each other's celebrations? Why do we have to rename things? Yeah, again, it goes to the point that I said it's the same thing. Why do we have to rename it? I don't see how it matters. Whatever it is that somebody's celebrating, just embrace whatever those differences are and be on with it. But apparently there are enough people that find certain things offensive, and particularly in schools, then there is the concern of a lawsuit or the ACLU getting involved or too many of the parents protesting or whatever it is. So the pressure starts to happen, and that's when the school district often will bow down if there are enough phone calls or complaints or, you know, somebody being completely outraged and offended, and that's my friends, what happens then? Everything changes. All right, on a different subject, here's one from John M. John says, hey Kate, really enjoying the show. I've been listening for a long time now. Love your stance on Afghanistan. Give us a plan or let's get out. Absolutely. Liked your guest who was talking about the comparisons with Vietnam, by the way. Keep up the good work. Bill Mensch says this. Enjoying America tonight. Do like Nail the Score. Just caught on to it a couple of weeks ago. I think it's fun that you do that. I hope somebody does win the big prize, as you say. Also, it's interesting how you talk about a lot of different things. Particularly, I like it when you talk about very heavy-hearted things and then switch to some of the lighter fare. It's very, very refreshing, my dear. Keep it up. All right, here's one from Dennis Deanna. And Dennis says, Kate, I really used to like your show, but I don't understand where some of the direction is coming from, particularly when you went off on the whole Christmas thing, because I think that many of the people of Muslim faith do have a very good point. Why do they have to suffer through listening to a prayer or hearing about a Christmas tree? What's wrong with calling it a holiday celebration? What's wrong with calling it a holiday tree? And I think that's what's wrong with it, that why should there be pressure after all these decades of doing it? Oop, okay, now suddenly the population has shifted, you're offended, we're going to change the way we do it. Think of the customs and think of the culture in lots of different areas, even in this country, like what they do with luminarias in Albuquerque, New Mexico. What if you had to do away with luminarias because, ooh, it might be a little bit too Catholic or there's a religious overtone? Then we'd have to tear it all down, and that's the point that I'm trying to make. 800-259-5791. Stay with us. Horses are out of the barn, and we're coming back on the other side.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
What's so crazy about not starving?
To cover yourself and your family in the event of accident or emergency, you may have home, life, auto, dental, and health insurance.
But what about food insurance?
Water and food are vital to human survival.
So what's so crazy about not starving?
Foodinsurance.com has designed emergency packs and kits with at least 2 weeks worth of great tasting food and clean water. Most foodinsurance.com meals are freeze dried,
which means they'll last and retain nutritional value up to 10 years.
Foodinsurance.com meals like lasagna, beef stroganoff, and other tasty entrees are quick, delicious, simple to prepare, and start at just $199.99.
The low cost is just one reason to get foodinsurance.com.
Need more reasons? Foodinsurance.com kits come with a lightweight, high-quality backpack and a free utensil tool. Go to foodinsurance.com or call 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. That's 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. Get protected at foodinsurance.com.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to Liquid Zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free Liquid Zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid Zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
All right, we've been talking what's happening within our borders, but what's happening around the world that could affect us, certainly Afghanistan on the minds of many of us with our brave men and women serving in those mountainous, treacherous areas. So the UN, for example, decided to relocate about 600 Afghan staff, and the reason for that is exactly what I'm talking about. We had the deadliest month, certainly for America, in October. And the UN says for now they're going to move people, at least half of the staff, following what happened in that Taliban attack against the UN workers. They're obviously reeling from, if you remember, in this case, it was right before dawn. It was on a guest house in Kabul that left five UN staffers dead. And it's the most direct target of anybody in the UN staff-wise, certainly in Afghanistan in however many years, five decades, whatever it's been. So they're going to take the 600 non-essentials, what they call them, folks, and move them for several weeks to more secure spots in and outside of Afghanistan, which I think is a very smart move because, again, you had those car bombs that went off and, of course, ripped through the area and killed other people as well. But the idea was to go after the UN people, and that's exactly what they did. In the meantime, an Afghan village was caught, of course, in the U.S. Taliban crossfire. And the first questions that come up is, you know, how did the Taliban know? And Where are the loyalties going as far as the villagers are concerned? And I guess now, and we've got a few journalists that are still over there, and some of what's starting to come out is that a lot of the villagers are saying they just want to be left alone. That they in fact, when the Americans were attacked, they asked the Taliban to stay away, and they've asked the Americans to stay away and just pass through because they don't want their little tiny areas in these hills to become a ground zero for these fights, the firefights and the rocket fights and all that other sort of stuff and the obvious tug of war. Since now, of course, the U.S. is doing something they did in Iraq and paying the Taliban to put down their arms and hoping that they'll switch sides at least for a little while. And what's happening with the money that's been earmarked for Afghanistan, by the way, is things like trying to build clinics in certain areas, anything to gain more trust of the Afghan people and to get them away from the Taliban. But you just have to think of this region and, you know, just in your mind, think of the most mountainous possibilities you can possibly line up. Not mountains like we have here in the United States. I mean, we're talking like a desert beyond, like look beyond as far as you can go and think of the peaks and valleys that you would have in those mountainous areas and just how tough it's been to wage this thing. And you've got this anti-American attitude in many of the places that has to be turned around. Otherwise, obviously it's dangerous already. But also, I think what the soldiers are trying to tell the people is if you don't change don't sway your attitude around, we'll help you rebuild, we'll do whatever, but then there's a chance that it could be an attack zone. So you have families and you've got overhead, you've got helicopters buzzing by and people sliding to and fro with gunfire popping from both sides of rivers and valleys and fighters moving down the hillsides and soldiers who were pinned back, certainly in the ambush, sadly. That's what happened there. And, just trying to survive, crawling on their bellies, doing whatever they can. So the question really becomes, it's what General McChrystal said, you have to change the attitude of the Afghanistan people as well. You have to get some of the people that are fighting for the Taliban to lay down those arms, and you have to completely change that attitude, and the government has to be able to stand on its own two feet. This was a big one when it comes to the CIA. In fact, the convictions, apparently very embarrassing for the CIA. An Italian judge convicted 23 in a CIA kidnapping case. If you remember, a lot was talked about as far as secret areas where many people were detained. So here's what happened. This judge found that the Americans and two Italians, by the way, guilty of kidnapping an Egyptian terror suspect and delivering the first legal convictions anywhere in the world against people involved in the rendition program. Human rights groups, of course, are beside themselves with the decision, and there's been a push to have President Obama repudiate the Bush administration's practice of abducting terror suspects and transferring them to third countries where torture was permitted. So the ACLU has been all over this, and the verdicts, again, what's significant here, the first conviction stemming from the rendition program. There's a movie, I think Reese Witherspoon's in it, it's called Rendition, and this plays into what they're talking about here. Although it's the reverse, he's in the United States, etc. But if you saw that, you get an idea of what we mean. And, of course, the new administration stopped the CIA's interrogation program and took most of the secret overseas jails. They shuttered them, but not all. Supposedly, most of them were shuttered in January. But they are still doing rendition. They are still doing the practice of extraordinary renditions. So now that makes you wonder, too, with what the administration says about the CIA and about the so-called torture and all that stuff from the past. So anyway, the Americans who cannot travel to Europe without getting arrested as long as the verdicts remain in place, were out of it. They weren't there in the courtroom. One of the people convicted accused Congress of turning a blind eye to the whole thing and said that no one has investigated the fact that the U.S. government supposedly conducted a rendition of somebody who now walks free, and the operation of which was so bungled. So there's more to that story if you read between the lines, accusing the United States of getting information from somebody and letting them go. And this has been a three-year Italian trial. 3 years that they've been going through this. And obviously it's politics galore in this one from the very, very start. I mean, looking into the backgrounds, looking into the three Americans that were acquitted, by the way, and again, the Italian-American relationship and this whole idea of the Afghanistan campaign probably wouldn't be hurt, because I don't think the Italians have too many troops there. Probably won't be hurt by the convictions, but there could be repercussions down the road for this, you know, because you have all kinds of lawsuits and stuff going on, too. You've got, you have the U.S. State Department spokesperson saying that the Obama administration, in fact, was disappointed about the verdict. So it was the opposite reaction, I think, than they had hoped for. And there may be many more to come. And again, it's this whole idea of the rendition thing. But then you think of the Egyptian cleric. It was Osama Mustafa Hussein Nasir. And, you know, he's clearly always willing to show people his battle scars after he was freed in Egypt. But then you think about what the guy did or what he was accused of doing. He was known as Abu Omar, and he was transferred to bases in Italy and Germany. Then he was moved to Egypt, where he says he was tortured, and he has been there since, but not permitted to leave Egypt to actually go to the trial. And like I said, what ultimately were some of these people being held for? What is it that they did? And so then you have to ask yourself about the whole rendition thing. And obviously, the current administration is continuing to do that. So they can't heap that all back on Bush if they're doing the very same thing. However, it is interesting as to how legally you step forward after what the Italian prosecutor did, because this judge convicted 23 in that kidnapping case. So Americans have been sentenced to jail time in absentia for rendition of this Egyptian cleric. Spells more trouble, I think, down the line, and maybe relations falling apart a little bit with that country. Once again, as I am fond of saying, you can send me an email day or night. Where do you send it? Ooh, snail mail, americatonight.net.